pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Back to the Jeff Poor Show, World FM Talk 106.5, 6 minutes after the hour on this Monday morning. Hope everyone is doing well. Quick preview of what's to come tomorrow. We'll have our friend Dan Gaynor from the Media Research Center joining us, and we'll also have Congressman Mo Brooks. He'll be with us as well. So make sure you're able to tune in. But joining us now, always a treat to get this next gentleman on, will soon be assuming the role of congressman in the 2nd Congressional District, seat currently occupied by our good friend Martha Roby. Representative-elect Barry Moore joins us on the line. How are you doing this morning?
Good Monday morning, Jeff. We're doing good, doing good. We flew back in over the weekend from our first round of orientation. And getting ready. We got a week off of Thanksgiving and then back up, you know, early December to get things back up and finish up orientation. So going well, doing good. Glad to be home for a few days, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I imagine. Tell me, you sounds like you're getting your parts and pieces together. Your staff's coming together. You made a big announcement last week. Everything going well for you on that side?
Yeah, we're truly blessed. I was able to get Shanna Tehan. He used to be Shanna Cluck. I think most people in Alabama know her when she was heading up communications for the Alabama GOP. A true conservative, one of the early Tea Party founders, and she very much lines up with my ideas on government, the limitation of government, and the Constitution and that sort of thing. So I was pleased to get Shanna to be willing to come back to the Hill. She spent some time on the Hill with other congressional members and senators, and understands the process, and it is a very complex process, so it's good to have her as my chief. And then, of course, Bill Harris, most of the folks around Alabama know him from working with forestry. He's also a lieutenant colonel, you know, so he understands the military side of things. So happy to have Bill. He's the conservative, again, lines up with me on politics pretty ideologically, and so I'm happy those are two trusted friends I've known for many years, and to have them come on board, and one be my district director, one be chief of staff. It's a great foundation to build a good team on.
Well, it sounds like things are moving along there. Tell us how orientation is going. It's always intriguing to me. They put you through a lot of stuff when you're a new member coming to Washington, D.C., understanding the ropes. What's that experience been like?
It has been, many people describe it as drinking from a fire hose, and in a lot of ways it is, because there's so much information to gather, and then there's still a lot of politicking going on. That's the frustrating thing about it, is these committees and what committees serve your district and who do you have to politic and campaign to try to get on this committee or that committee. And it's a lot of it's based on your ability to pay your dues and that sort of thing. So a little bit frustrating for those of us who really, really say, hey, you know what, we're going to do this, we want to do these things, we want to serve in this capacity. And it's not always based on your ability or your working knowledge or your experience more so than your fundraising capability. So that's a little bit frustrating. But I think, again, we've got a great group coming in with us. And so I think there's some opportunities for our 117th Congress, a great group of freshmen coming in. We're mostly a populist group. I think many of us did well down the ticket because Trump was at the top. And so I see it as an opportunity for us to truly try to give representative government back. And it's going to take some time. It didn't get broken overnight. I don't think we can fix it overnight, Jeff. But I think that we got a great group of very, very smart people from all over the country who are conservatives who want to come in and affect the swamp, if you will.
Well, one thing you said you were going to do during a campaign, and I think a lot of our listeners approve, because now it sounds like the Freedom Caucus is going to grow its ranks within the House caucus, Republican caucus. Tell us, have you interacted with those guys very much?
Absolutely. I am. I'm actually one of the first meetings I took after winning the general was to meet with House Freedom Caucus. And those really, I see those members being the people that, they don't seem to have ulterior motives in D.C. Most of those members are people who really, really are there for the right reasons. They're people you can trust. And so I enjoyed getting to meet them. That was one of the rooms I went into and I actually felt comfortable. In other words, it was like everybody wasn't jockeying for positions. You have good leadership in the House Freedom Caucus. you know who they are. They're the Jim Jordans, the Andy Biggs, those type people that really are there to give government and the prospect of governing back to the people, or at least working with the consent of the governed, so to speak. So, you know, to me, those are the people in the room I'm most comfortable with. And so I have a home there. I had a chance, my wife got to go to meet with the wives of the House Freedom Caucus. And it's just, we're developing those relationships and those friendships that I think will bode well for our district and for our country.
Representative, the some interesting times going on in Washington, D.C., in your chamber there. I guess a lot of the intrigue is on the Democrat side. And for the most part, it seems to me Republicans are very united right now. No matter what happens with the election, the House Republicans are on the same page on a lot of things, being in a minority. But there's a lot of rancor, a lot of turmoil on that Democrat side. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that many of the Democrats are upset with Pelosi and how, you know, they were all predicting the media. Of course, you know, you can't trust polls and you can't trust most of the media in the country, but they were predicting this great blue wave, and it just did not happen for them. And I was told at orientation by our leader that we had about 51 people, freshmen, Republicans, and maybe a few spouses or staffers there learning go through this orientation process. The Democrats only had a total of 14. So that tells you that the swell, the wave of new freshmen coming in. Some of us, granted, are replacing prior Republicans, but still, we gained a lot of ground, and Nancy now has a razor-thin margin. I think the way that they were so anti-Trump so often, and the impeachment fell flat on his face, the Russian collusion hoax thing fell on his face, I think the Democrats have lost their way. They've been so anti-Trump, they haven't been pro-American people, even pro their district. And so it seems that party's been hijacked, and I just don't think Nancy has control of the process anymore. I think it's very divided in the ranks of the Democratic Party.
We're joined by Barry Moore, former state legislator. Now he is the U.S. representative-elect for the 2nd Congressional District. Representative, tell me this. I guess you're watching what's going on with the election and all that, that whole entire saga where, you know, obviously the rules changed and seem to have benefited Joe Biden in a way. What's your take on where we are with the presidential election right now?
I am very concerned. I mean, I tell you, Jeff, there is, when I said, like I said earlier, we govern with the consent of the people. And if the people do not have confidence in the process, then we are illegitimate. And I think we have to make sure that the integrity of the election process is protected, regardless where we draw the lines in the sand and how we fight this. We need to verify that the votes that were cast were legitimate, they were honest and above board votes, and this thing has not been hijacked. And so I'm encouraged that the president is continuing to fight. I am also troubled by a lot of the inconsistencies we're seeing in some of the Dominion data that's coming back, the way some of the things seem to flip from Trump to Biden, and then the mail-in process and how that we need to verify signatures. I don't think, and this is just Barry Moore speaking, I don't have any more information probably than the average American, I don't think that we lost this race the way they're trying to say that Trump was just beat and Biden turned out all these many million voters. I don't have that feel. I think that something fishy's going on and we need to get to the bottom of it. And these state legislators and these groups around the country, they don't need to certify that if they can't verify it.
Tell me another thing, with the potential of Joe Biden coming in and being the next president of the United States. So he's already named a COVID-19 task force. And with that, one of the members of the task force, Michael Osterholm, going on TV a lot, talking about a 6 to 8 week shutdown. That has to send chills up your spine, talking about another shutdown, at least trying to do that at the federal level even.
I have been and will continue to be a voice of reason in the process. I try to be. I think we need to open the economy. I know more people that have died taking their own lives, losing their businesses, and I do personally, from people who have died from COVID-19. And to me right now, Andy Biggs has said it often, he thinks that the cure is far worse than the virus. And what we're doing to people's lives and the students in this country and businesses that we are destroying on a virus that you got a 99% survival rate, it's a way for government to continue to just push and push and push. And I think that we have to say at some point, enough is enough. We flatten the curve. We need to open the economy. Let our immunity develop. I mean, we don't have a vaccine, and yet they're saying we're having all these new cases, but we're not seeing a rise in the death. That tells me that our bodies are building immunity. Many people probably have had it and didn't realize it. And a troubling thing for me was Elon Musk, that he got tested four times a few weeks ago. Same day, he got two positives and two negatives. So we can't rely on the data for the testing. And then, of course, most of the deaths that we're seeing, I'm not saying there aren't some people who have gotten sick, but most of what we're seeing seems to be people with underlying issues. In other words, COVID is not, I just wonder where the flu went, I guess is the question. Where did the flu go? I mean, all of a sudden, this COVID-19 is killing all these people, but we're not seeing the flu anymore. We're not hearing about the flu. And in years past, we had thousands die from the flu, and it was reported. Now it's like everything is given, the data is being skewed to make COVID be more of a more powerful, a more intimidating virus. And I know that, like I said, there's some issues with it, but I think we've learned how to treat it. The president's got the vaccine coming. We need to open America's economy. There's a certain thing about living your life free and like American people and taking the risk, calculated risk, is we want to take them as individuals. If you've got immune issues, if you have respiratory issues, maybe you wear a mask, maybe you don't interact with people, but shutting people's Thanksgiving down and shutting churches down and letting strip joints open and abortion clinics open and the stores that sell our alcohol, ABC stores, whatever you want to call them, to me, that says government's picking winners and losers, and that is a terrible thing for government to be trying to do and make a political state.
Right. You look at some of these other states and what they're doing, these sacred traditions like Christmas and Thanksgiving being canceled by the governors, that is, to me, I guess the fear is that's what it could be to come in a Biden presidency.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And at what point did the American people say enough is enough, you know? And, they've shut down New York. I mean, Broadway is no longer functioning. There's so many things and they're trying to give these Emmys away to governors and stuff. Right. And I'm like, really, for what? For failed policies? I mean, they have higher death counts per capita than most other states in the union. So it seems to be extremely political. The science is not there. And we flatten the curve. I mean, many of the rural hospitals don't have patients. They're not doing, they're not screening for cancers. They're not doing the things they used to do to treat people that were preventative for fear of somebody showing up and getting a disease an infection, a virus that 99% of the people will survive if they get it. And it's just, the science just doesn't line up on that, Jeff. And I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around what we're doing.
Representative, we know you're on the road and you got to get on your way, but we're about out of time. I want to thank you once again for making time for this audience. We always appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate y'all having me, and y'all keep doing your prayers, man. We cherish those. We're going into a dark place in D.C., and we need all the wisdom we can gather from the good Lord.
We will do that. Once again, thanks for making time for us. Representative-elect Barry Moore, ladies and gentlemen, on the program, really pulled off a big upset in this last election cycle. Take it down. Was well outspent, but still won. And now he's a member of Congress. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Comfort, carry on.